We thank the Lord Jesus for the great salvation he has given us. And if you're here today and you're not saved, it's our prayer for you that you'd come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's the greatest thing that you can ever have. So that way when you die, you'd know that you're going to be with the Lord. It's an awful thing to die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I think it would be one of the awful things that can ever happen to you. It's to die without your Creator, the Savior, your God, your Maker, and to stand alone in that day. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, notice what the Bible says there. Paul the Apostle speaking to the church at Rome. Notice what he says. In verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you today, this morning, and we ask and pray that you'd have your blessing upon your word to our hearts, and that, Lord, you'd communicate your word, you'd encourage the believers, and that, Father, you'd convict those that don't know you as their Savior. We pray that you would help us through this one simple verse to say and stand with Paul the Apostle and say, "I'm not ashamed." In Jesus' name, amen. This verse, we can clearly see a man that's giving a personal testimony that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel which he preached. Why did Paul the Apostle think it necessary to tell the church at Rome that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I want some of the men to help me out this morning by the way of introduction. Why do you think that Paul the Apostle begins his letter in chapter 1 to tell the church at Rome that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel? Anyone can help me out, men? Yes. Okay, because there are people that were ashamed of the gospel because of... Why were they ashamed? Because it brought persecution, right? Their reputation was marred, if you will. It would be... The gospel brings about a persecution that perhaps hinders your reputation. And the Roman people had a good reputation, right? Amen, because he knew what the power of the gospel can do in his own life. He knew that his past was redeemed. Anyone else can help me? Why wasn't he ashamed? Yes. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. That's the thrust of the verse. Now, I'll give you a few more points in respect to the passage of the scripture that we're looking at. When you think about the gospel of Christ and what it can do, and we're going to look at that this morning, we're going to look at the thrust of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We also think about the rejection or the response or the reaction of those that don't believe. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul the Apostle points out what the gospel can do for those that believe. But the reason why he stand and stood and said that "I'm not ashamed of the gospel" is also the reaction and the response that he gets because of preaching the gospel of Christ. We see in verse 21, we see a people that rejected, or a people that would react and reject the gospel, are a people that do not love God. Have a look at verse 21. He says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." Over here, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Look at verse 28. "And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And so we see we have a people that did not want to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want anything got to do with God. They were God haters. They were the enemy of the cross. And so therefore, the response to the reaction from these people, would cause Paul the Apostle to say, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And this is why he says why. Because of what it can do to those that believe, even though there's non-believers. And by the way, there are plenty of non-believers. There are more non-believers in this world than believers. The Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few there be find it. And so we understand in this world today, there's going to be a minority that's going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I thank God for that minority. I thank God for the saints of God that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sweet aroma that comes from that kind of people. We see that they're not malicious. We see that they're not unforgiving, unlike the world. They're unforgiving. They're relentless. They don't even give you a chance to redeem yourself if you've done wrong. I thank God for the people of God that are open and willing to restore and forgive someone. I thank God for the house of God. But second of all, the reason why people reject the gospel is not only they hate God, they're God haters, and they don't love God, is because they love themselves more than God. Have a look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Because they don't love God, they purposely deny the existence of God, but Paul covers that in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creations of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Why? So that they are without excuse. Everywhere you look at, if you look around, if you look up, if everywhere you look at, you see the demonstration of God's existence and his power. People have no excuse. You cannot explain God away, because God reveals himself in creation. But notice, let's finish that verse. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served, look at this, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He just had to add that one in. Amen. Who is blessed forever. Amen. They worship the creature more than the Creator. They love themselves. They love the creation more than God. That's why people reject the gospel. And then not only this, the next verse here, they love sin more than God. Look at verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. What's the next one there? God haters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Look at this. Who knowing the judgment of God, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but listen, look at this, but have pleasure in them that do them. They love their sin more than the Savior. That's why they reject the gospel. That's why they reject God. That's why they reject his word, because people are so in love with themselves. They love themselves more than the Creator God. However, in the midst of such rejection, Paul knew the only hope that people would have is the gospel. So Paul was rejected. Animosity was, in his face. Rejection, blatant lies, accusations. Paul fell under heavy persecution, but he wasn't ashamed, because he knew and understood what the gospel can do. Because you know why? He himself once was a hater of good things. He understood that. He once persecuted the church. He was a man that was under sin. He was a man that was said that I'm the chief of sinners. So he understood his past, and he understood what the gospel can do to a sinful man. Four things I want to point out. Why wasn't Paul ashamed? Number one, he says, I'm not ashamed for the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the person of the gospel. The person. The message of the gospel didn't come from Caesar, didn't come from the Roman government. The person of the gospel didn't come from man, it came from God. It wasn't a man-made message. The gospel, the good news, came from God himself. Caesar was prominent in position. He was very powerful. The Romans prided themselves in that. And so, but what Paul is trying to say is that the gospel which we preach is from God. Look at verse 1.
Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto what? The gospel of God. I'm not ashamed. To be ashamed of the message that we preach, to be ashamed of the word, is to be ashamed of God. It's to be, if you are ashamed of the gospel and you can't share the gospel and you can't tell people about the gospel because of the reaction and the resistance, and you're ashamed to even be a light because you know the conflict that it has and the trouble that you'll get for it, you are ashamed of God. Because the message is not from man, the message came from God. It's amazing how man carries messages along in this world and people are not really ashamed. But for some reason, people are ashamed of God. Why? I mean, people can go on the street and parade their sin, and there could be cheering, and there could be, you know, pride and so forth. But when it comes to the Word of God, we ought to be ashamed. We can't have the Word of God out there on the street. And if we do, trouble comes. Persecution comes. What if we paraded ourselves and said we worship a God? And by the way, God wants us to be witnesses and not to be ashamed of His word, because the message came from heaven, all the way from heaven, my friends. When that Son of God was born, He was born and the angels sung and said, "Here He is, the Messiah is born. Rejoice, the Savior is here." Heaven rejoiced when He was born. Heaven rejoiced. God is the author of the gospel, which was motivated by His amazing love. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave. You know what God said? "Here you are. I'm going to send my Son for you." God is the author of salvation, folks. God is the author of the gospel. God is the author of the message. The message of the gospel came from God, not from man, not from Paul, not from Charlie, not from anyone that preaches the gospel. It came from God Himself, and God wants every Christian to be a witness unto Him. Yeah, I'm not ashamed. To be ashamed of the word and the gospel is to be ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of God. John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him," look at this, "might be saved." God sends His Son into the world. God is the author of this gospel message. God is the author and the plan of salvation. And He didn't plan it so the people will be condemned. He planned it that people will be saved. But why are they condemned? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 3, because they love darkness more than the light. And so when the light is exposed, people feel what? Oh, it exposes their conscience. See, what man tries to do is see their conscience. When you go out on the street and expose light, and you're reviving the conscience of man that is trying to suppress by explaining God away. They're trying to explain God away. They're trying to say He doesn't exist. They're trying to say the Bible's a fairy tale. That's what the world is trying to do. And so when you go out there and you're not ashamed and you preach Christ and you preach the gospel and you're not ashamed because of the reactions, you know what takes place? Light. Ye are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid, and the devil wants you to cower and hide and put that light under a bushel. But my friend, if you don't go out there, then that means you're ashamed of God. Because it's the gospel of God. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." The gospel's good news, folks. It's not bad news. The reaction of people ought not to, in any way, shape, or form, cause us to think we've got some bad news to tell the world. No, we've got good news to tell the world. In Romans chapter 10, Paul the Apostle goes on to say, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" He says, how shall they preach except they be sent?" He said, "As it is written," look at this, "how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of" what? "Peace. Peace. And bring glad tidings of good things." That's what the gospel is. It's good news. I've got good news for you. What's that good news? Listen, God wants you to come back to Him. You are enmity with God. And through Jesus Christ, you can come back to God and you can be forgiven for your sin and you can have a home in heaven. Is that bad news? But why do people think it to be hate speech or bad news? I'll tell you why. Because they love themselves and they love sin and they don't love God. Bottom line. God is calling them, come back to me. Nah, you don't exist. You're a fairy tale. But the bottom line is because they love themselves. They're obsessed with themselves. Obsessed. The Bible says in the perilous times, in the days that we're living right now, people will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And look around you. Have a look. And if you dare to love God and you dare to stand for God and shine the word, you're a hater of men. No, we're a lover of God. We love God. That's why we go out there. The message came from God. We're witnesses unto God. We're witnesses for Christ. And the gospel of God centers around Christ. Paul the Apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. It's not only from God, but it centers around the purpose, the person of Jesus Christ. You know, there are three different gospels in our world today, but there's only one true gospel. There's the works gospel, there's the wishy-washy gospel, and there's the whole gospel. The works gospel is when one teaches that you need to improve on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And by the way, no one can improve off that. It's perfect. What Jesus did on that cross was absolutely perfect. But the church in Galatia had a problem when they had false teachers creeping in saying we have to improve on this salvation. And so therefore they taught a works gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul deals with this and he says, I marvel that you were soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The person that preaches a works gospel is going to be cursed. And we see that there are churches today that say, if you say to them, how do you get to heaven? So you just have to be a good person. And we see that happen. There's no doubt. We see that happen many times. People think they have to be good to their neighbor in order to get to heaven. Yeah, good to their neighbor, except those people that love Jesus Christ, right? Good to their neighbor, except loving God, right? What kind of good to your neighbor is that? That you love everybody except the Christians that are trying to love God. That's all they're doing. Trying to love God and share the gospel with others and say, hey, you need to love God too. You need to come back to God too. Yeah, you need to come and be reconciled with God and make peace with God because sin separates us from God. But he goes on to say, and he says, as before, he said, I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of, which was preached of me, is not after who? Man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know why some people cannot but preach? Because they've understood that the gospel has come from heaven. It's not man-made. The true gospel. The works gospel will fizzle out one day because it's not the true gospel. The true gospel burns in the heart of a man and he cannot but speak because he's not ashamed of the messenger or the message. He's not ashamed of God nor the message of Christ. Not ashamed. The wishy-washy gospel is what makes a person feel comfortable in their sin. The wishy-washy gospel out there is when they preach a gospel that has no repentance in that. In other words, you can go to heaven and still live in your sin. That's the wishy-washy gospel. Paul the Apostle addresses the Corinthians with this. He says, but I fear lest by any means in 2 Corinthians 11, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety of through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh and preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, he says, you might well bear with him. What's he saying here? He's saying there's another gospel, which is not the true gospel, that you put up with. You bear with it. It's the wishy-washy gospel. It's the gospel that says you can live how you want, you know, you're going to heaven kind of thing. Yeah, we have ministers that don't really love the word of God or submit to the word of God. They say they're ministers and preachers. Now, I don't understand this. I don't understand preachers being ministers of the gospel. People that are rejecting the gospel, they're being ministers of the gospel. What's that? That's subtlety, my friends. That's a subtlety. They're saying we love God. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to paint a different picture than Bible-believing churches. So I like that church down the road over there. They're community friendly. They're community friendly. They know how to be, you know, friendly with the community. Yeah, well, we know how to be friendly with the community too, but we need to share the gospel. We need to let people know that they're sinners, but also we need to let people know that there's a great Savior that loves them. But that's the very thing that people are trying to suppress and the very thing that people reject. The wishy-washy gospel doesn't touch on sin, doesn't preach on sin, doesn't expose sin. Come as you are, stay as you are kind of gospel. Wishy-washy. But here the apostle talks about he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is the whole gospel. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. He says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherewith ye stand." He says, "by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you." Look at this. "Unless ye have believed in" what? Is that possible? Absolutely. Why? Because there's a work gospel and there's a wishy-washy gospel. And over here, Paul the Apostle says, "No, I'm giving you the true gospel." And here it is. Keep in memory. What's the true gospel? "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our mistakes." No. A mistake is when you're writing someone's name down or you get it wrong. A mistake is when you're trying to pronounce someone's name and you get it wrong. That's me. I'm bad at pronouncing names. And if I pronounce your name wrong, forgive me. That's a mistake. But sin is more than just a mistake. Sin has wickedness behind it. Sin is when it's malicious, selfish. Sin is when it's just full of self and proud and full of lust. Yeah, that's what sin is. When it looks after self, it protects self. Sin is when it charges God foolishly. That's sin. That's what the world tries to do. They try to charge God foolishly. Yeah, that's sin. Christ died for that though. Christ died for sin. In other words, he suffered and died for it. In other words, he was paying the punishment for sin. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, that's the gospel. Jesus died for our sin. Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely. He died and he was buried so we can be forgiven, so we don't have to be judged for our sin. We can be reconciled to God. I don't know about you, but that's good news. When I heard that 16 years ago, I said, "Would God forgive someone like me?" Wow. Because God showed me my sin. And I agreed with God. You know what confessing is? It's agreeing with God. Saying, "God, you're right, I'm wrong." But you have a lot of people saying, "God is wrong and I'm right." Forget it. And by the way, if you read this book, you notice that God is not a liar. You notice person, he's true and he's always right. He's always right. You have a problem with that? He's God. He's always right. His word is forever settled in heaven. There's nothing that you can charge God foolishly on. Now, a lot of people think if God loves me, he will give me this and he'll give me that. If God loves me, he'll let me do what I want to do because I want to be God on earth. That's the God that they want. Come on, let's be honest. That's the God that people are looking for. No, God is God, folks. God is God. And God wants someone to be under him and agreeing, saying, "God, you're right. Your ways are holy. Your ways are righteous. Your ways are good." But man, he's full of sin. And so God sent his son to die for sin and die for that wicked imagination. The Bible says in Isaiah that the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. Jesus died for our sin to give us a way to come back to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So that's the good news, that there is a way to come back. That's why the ark was built. Because God's judgment was coming on sinful man, and God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And through that one door, you can be rescued and you can be delivered from my judgment, from the wrath of God to come on sinful people. And righteous Noah said, okay, by faith. He was moved by fear and faith to build an ark. And thank God, 8 souls got saved that day. The minute and the minority. Yep. Jesus is that door today. He died for our sin, according to the gospel. But what else? Verse 4, he was buried and he what? Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Wow. This is what this is about, by the way. Amen. Heaven or hell, it's your decision. By the way, you can notice that heaven is first because that's where God wants you to be. Amen. The last place God wants anyone to be is here. God made his decision 2,000 years ago when he sent his son into the world. And his son obeyed and submitted to the will of the Father, died on that cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, conquered death, pleased God in every single way, was obedient unto death, made himself of no reputation. Why? To give us a way of escape from here to here. 2,000 years ago, God said, I love you, I do. Now he's waiting for you to say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. For God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated his love toward us. Why? In that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us. Christ died for us. And while we're yet sinners, in our worst condition. Isn't that right, David? And by the way, let me just say this to you. If anybody has an excuse to fall asleep in the sermon, it's him. He had 2 hours last night. 1 hour drive, my friend. I'm not trying to put a snare on your feet, my brother. I'm just trying to say, what's the problem with people like that loving God? You have a problem with that? Well, can't we love God? And can't we go and tell people, hey, we love God. We want you to love God. What's wrong with that? This is not a condemnation message. By the way, are there people out there that condemn people to hell and give them no hope? Absolutely. We're against that. They go and they pick it and they hate. They have signs that say, God hates you. These people. By the way, Grace Bible Baptist Church is far from being that. Because the gospel here gives hope. It's the gospel of hope. It's the gospel of peace. And God wants everybody to know the true gospel. The whole gospel, and it's found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in Christ. This leads us to the next point. Paul the Apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for why? It is the power of God unto what? Salvation. See, Rome at that time was a conquering nation. They understood what power meant. Power was one thing that they boasted in. The Greeks boasted in philosophy. Rome boasted in their conquering power. And so Paul can submits himself in this way, in this kind of language, and he said, do you want to know what's powerful? I can share something that's powerful. Amen. Yep. The gospel of God is powerful. Why? Because it can save men from sin, the curse of the law, and death. Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 if you're not there already. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, have a look at verse 51. Look what Paul says. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, a mystery is something that's concealed. And now Paul is about to reveal it. He's about to reveal something for the very first time to this church. Now, we can understand and clearly say that the resurrection wasn't really something that was a mystery to the church, because they were taught the resurrection. They were taught the resurrection. They had the four gospels. Okay, what's the mystery? The imminent return of Jesus Christ. What's the mystery? The rapture of the church. hey, I'm going to show you a mystery now. What is it, Paul? We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's the power of God right there. In a moment, in a twinkling of a light, I can't get it quite right. You won't even know this change is going to take place. It's just going to happen. What's going to happen? This change for believers that have believed in Christ, the death, burial, resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, talking about our new body, at that day, amen, when the Lord comes and he catches us up, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, and saying that it is what? Death is swallowed up in victory. There's the power of the gospel, the power over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You know, because of the resurrection, death can't touch us. Anyone in Christ does not die forever, but lives forever. He says here, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law exposes my sin. We can specifically say the moral law of God, right? God's moral law. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not use God's name in vain. Thou shalt honor the... The law exposes us. It reveals our sin. And we say, we're finished. We're lawbreakers. Right? That's what it does. But it says here, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? Thank you, Lord, for the saving grace, the powerful gospel that is able to forgive our sin, that is able to deliver us from hell and free us from the curse of the law. Every one of us in this room, outside of Christ, the curse of the law is abiding on you. You're a lawbreaker. The law exposes your sinfulness. It tells you you're dead. But the gospel gives us hope and says, listen, there is one that wants to save you from your sin. There is one that wants to deliver you. There's one that wants to bring you alive again. And that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the power of God on the salvation. It's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection is able to make a dead man alive. And this is why he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's the worst thing that could happen to somebody that preaches the gospel? Be persecuted and died or killed or put in prison and are waiting for this time of saying, Lord, I'm almost there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and to be with Christ is far better. But if I stay, it's more needful for you. Why? Because I want to preach the gospel to you. I want you to be saved. Listen, my friends, if I can't live telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you might as well kill me. What am I living for? Now, come on. What am I living for? If I can't live to tell people about this wonderful news, what am I living for? For me? I don't want to live for me anymore. I know me. I know the life that I lived brought depression, anxiety, no satisfaction, emptiness. A lot of people say they're trying to fill this big vacuum. You know, my whole life was a vacuum. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever I can get to fill this void. And one day someone came to me and said, God loves you, mate. What are you doing? You can't find it out in this world. What you're trying to do, it's found in Christ. I said, who loves someone like me? Not only love me, but save me and clean me up and cleaning, still cleaning me up and setting my foot upon a rock and establishing my going. Hey, listen, this vacuum's been filled because of Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to turn back, and I won't turn back. And if you're going to shut my mouth so I can tell someone else about this wonderful gospel, you might as well kill me. Because I can't. I've got good news to tell. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's good news. Jesus saves. You can have a home in heaven. You can be forgiven. You can have eternal life. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He loves you. What's wrong with that news? I'm not ashamed. It's the power of God and the salvation. The powerful gospel is based upon three things. The promise of God is the first one. Have a look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Paul the apostle saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of Christ. You know what that meant? He was separated under the gospel of Christ. His life was separated under the gospel. That's all he cared about. He lived dreaming about the gospel, thinking about the gospel, thinking about this good news, this precious Savior, separated to it. That's his life depended upon the gospel, which he had, look what? What's that word? Promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Promised. Not only based upon the promise of God, but second of all, this gospel is based upon the pure and precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Peter says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with how? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood, thirdly, it's based upon the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Godhead, God's promises, the precious and pure blood of Christ. Why is the blood pure? Because Jesus is sinless. Sinless, only Jesus can redeem us because Jesus is God and he's God the Son and he's sinless. Sinless. That's why he can do it. And not only this, but it's based upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. This salvation, this victory, if you will, is secured by the promise of God, by the pure blood of Jesus Christ, and by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. There's no way when God saves you, God keeps you saved. That's the promise. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Through what? What's that? Through faith. This leads us to the next one. Paul the apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the person of the gospel and the power of the gospel. But no, notice now the people of the gospel. Look at this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. Everyone that overrides Calvinism, that believes, that overrides universalism. Amen. To everyone. The gospel's to everyone. The group, the Jews first and then the Gentiles. And we see that in the book of Acts. It went to the Jews first, Samaritans, Gentiles, and now he's saying, listen, Rome, it's for you. The gospel's for everyone. God gave his Son for all men. Jesus didn't just die for some men. Jesus died for all men. Jesus didn't die just for some few. Jesus died for all. Every creature who wants the gospel to be preached. The atonement of Jesus Christ is unlimited in its invitation, but limited in its application. In other words, you have to believe in it in order to be saved. But the invitation is to all. John says this, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The atonement is sufficient for all men, but efficient for those who believe. In other words, it's there and it's available. God's mercy is saying, come and receive my mercy. Come, let's reason together. And you have to come to him by faith and receive his mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for therefore we labor and suffer reproach because we trust in a living God who is the Savior of who? All men, especially of those that believe. Isaiah 53:6, for all we like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon the iniquity of us all. John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hebrews 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, shall taste death for every man, every man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and was a ransom for all. It's available. It's unlimited to all that will come. But it's limited to those that believe. The invitation's to all. But it's applicable to those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All includes every kind of sinner. Did you know that? When Paul was reaching the church at Corinth, you see a list of people that were cleansed, washed, people that were sanctified, people that believed on Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that list. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 9, just so you can see that Paul went to all sorts of kind of people. He says, and know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Fact. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Who's going to inherit the kingdom of God? Those that believe the gospel. Those that repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Be not deceived. Hey, don't be deceived by this wishy-washy gospel, okay? That says you can continue to be a fornicator. Or an idolater. No, you cannot. You cannot. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Right? That's what the Bible says. Nor abusers of themselves, mankind. These people that one man wants to be with another man out of God's order. One woman wants to be with another woman. No, that's out of God's order. That's these people with the list of the other people here. Fornicators, which I once was. Yeah. What's the difference, folks? What's the difference? No, the gospel to every sinful person, especially these people here. And thieves, which I once was. And covetous, which I once was. And drunkard, which I once was. And revelers and extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at this. But such were some of you. Amen. So this will indicate to us that these people had some homosexuals in their church. Didn't they? Are they part of all men? Absolutely. Do they have an opportunity to come to God just like any one of us here? Absolutely. Does God love them? Absolutely. He loves them just as much as he loves us. But they have to turn to him just like we do. Yeah, we're not any different. We're just as sinful as any other person. We all need Jesus, my friend. We're all great sinners. In need of a great Savior, do you understand that? That's the message that we go and tell the world. Yep, but look, I love this. Such were some of you. You're not this person now. You were this person. You were like this. You shouldn't be living like this. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to live perfectly well. We are being perfected. Can we still fall into sin? Yeah, but we don't live in sin. He says this, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the powerful gospel. Given to all men, especially those that believe, that's when the power works. It's available And when I put my faith in Jesus, I am born by the Spirit of God. It's the only way that I can see heaven or enter into heaven is to be born again. Changed. Forgiven. So what's the requirement for salvation? Faith. Faith. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, that's what Jesus said, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm not ashamed. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. No way in the world. Say what you want. Slander. Come up with the false accusations. I know my heart before God. And I'm going to go and tell the world that he loves him. Yes. That's the message that we have. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. It is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of an offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, so he is a stumbling block to some people. Yes. Who are they? God haters. Who are they? Those people that love their sin more than God. Who are they? Unrepentant sinners. Yep. But to those that believe, oh, my friends, they will not be ashamed. God will not be ashamed of them. So why shall we be ashamed of him? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the invitation is for all men, and it can save those that believe on him. It has the power to do it. Not only this, but notice now the preacher of the gospel. We're closing. This is the last point. You understand what Paul went through because of the gospel? Do you understand what he went through? Do you understand that Paul had been imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, rushed out of Berea, mocked in Athens, treated as a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia, persecuted in Jerusalem? And then, you know what he says? In the midst of all that, in verse 15, he says, so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Character assassination didn't stop Paul. Death threats didn't stop Paul. Why? He wasn't ashamed. He knew his God. He knew his salvation, Christ. He knew what it can do for some, listen, of those people in Rome. He knew. Maybe out of 100, one will get saved. Heaven rejoices for that one.
Amen.
Yep. It's all worth it, my friend. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. And after all that persecution, he says, I'm coming to Rome. Coming to Rome? You know what's going to happen to you at Rome? You might die. Didn't stop Paul. Why? Because Paul had the heart of God, my friend. He loved people because God loved people. And is he going to let the majority angry God haters stop him from reaching that soul somewhere that wants to cry out to the Lord? No. No. He wasn't. Paul the Apostle said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Yes. For the elect's sake. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you, look at this, suffer as a what? Murderer. Don't be haters of people. Brethren, don't be haters of people. Don't hate people. Or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's business. Listen,
Don't be guilty of these things.
What are you going to be guilty of? Verse 16. If any man shall suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf.
You know, the only thing that we were guilty of last weekend, giving out these flyers, is telling people about Jesus and how God loves them. That's the only thing that we're guilty of. That's the only thing that we're guilty of. Telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
In closing, what carries the gospel? What gets the gospel out there? What's the vehicle, if you will, that helps the gospel travel to where it needs to be? Is it protesting?
No.
People can go out into the world and protest about certain things that are ungodly that the government is trying to enforce that is against God. But our message predominantly is the preaching of the gospel. You will hardly get persecuted for any other cause. Hardly. You can bring unnecessary persecution upon you when you're haters of people. Absolutely. But the main pure persecution will come when you preach the gospel. And that's the vehicle. Every single one of us, ladies, testify of God's goodness in your heart. Men, use the preachers, you carry the word of God to other people. That's the vehicle. God wants us in one way or another to be a witness by sharing the gospel or our testimony with other people. That's the vehicle. We see it through and through the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 21. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Look at this. For it pleased God by what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began, but have now in due time manifested his word through what? Preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Notice some examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What were they doing? Preaching the word. Look at the next verse. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and who? And the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Look at the next verse. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching, what is it? Peace of Jesus Christ. And he's the Lord of all. Look at this. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching who? The Lord Jesus. Amen. And Paul and also Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Do we see any protesting here? Did you see the book of Acts is full of preaching and teaching? No protesting here. God has called us to preach the gospel. Amen. Not to go and hold signs and protest and march down. We'll never see that in the scripture. We'll never see people holding, save this. No. This is what the people need. But you know why people don't carry the message? You're going to get persecuted. I'm telling you. Look, listen. Unsaved people stand and hold signs and therefore pro-life. And you want to try to influence the world and the government by doing that? I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I'm just saying, are you doing this? Yeah, I don't want to die holding a sign. Yeah, I want to die because I preach the gospel. I want to die because if my son sees me preaching and being stoned or put in prison, he knows the message I have is real. I'm willing to give my life for it. Yes, because I'm not ashamed of my God, nor of the message, because I know what it can do for people. Yeah, look at the next verse. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, little rented apartment there. And at the end of his journey, his missionary journey, he comes for 2 whole years. I wish I can die like that too, just before being beheaded, amen. Getting 2 more years of influence with the gospel. Only God can do this, by the way. He dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all
How many did he receive? All that came in. We don't turn anybody down. Anyone that wants to come and learn about the truths of God's word and know the truth is welcome. And look at this, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern who? There it is right there, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Where? In a Roman colony. Peace! Paul the apostle didn't die an old, bitter man. He died preaching the gospel. Yes. He wasn't doing something, listen, for his own cause. It was for the cause of Christ. Paul the apostle says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. You know, the gospel attracts many kind of people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me, good and bad, good and bad. And Paul wasn't ashamed regardless of the response that he got. And by the way, he had different kind of responses, not only from unbelievers, but believers that were supposed to be upon his side. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words, the gospel. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But how many forsook him? All men forsook him. By the way, I thank the Lord, my God, for this church. Not one person from our church, not one, had any doubts that we were not preaching the gospel last week. Not one. Not one. I thank God for this church. He says, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding. Who stood with him? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, there was only one church in the Newcastle district that came from Belmont that gave me a call. The pastor called me. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're standing for you. He's the one that sent emails on my behalf to saying, what did this church do wrong? But preach the gospel? Is preaching the gospel a crime? No. But soon, very soon, it's going to be a crime. That's right. Preaching the gospel is going to be labeled hate speech. But I want to close off with this. If we go back, I missed a passage of scripture on purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at this closely. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. Timothy! God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love, not hate. With that boldness to go out in love. And of a sound mind, sober. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of who? The Lord. Don't be ashamed. They're going to make you feel like you should be ashamed of yourself. The MP, Sonia, said you should be ashamed of yourself. Of what? Of what? Preaching the gospel. By the way, I wrote her a letter and said, we love you, Sonia. And the MP of all said, we love you, we're praying for you. Yeah. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Look, listen, nor of me, his prisoner. Yeah. Because one day, listen, my friend, you see your pastor locked up, you see your pastor beaten on the ground, listen, you see your pastor put in prison, don't be ashamed.
Don't say, oh, he deserved what he gets. See what happens? That's happened to me before. Been stabbed. Sydney, that kicked me to the ground, left me for dead in front of my father's eyes. And then the words got back to my mum saying, see what he gets for trying to convert people. No, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to tell them about how God loves them. Amen. That's it. That's all. Don't be ashamed, Mum. My mum, let someone else do it. Mum, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed. But be thou a partaker of my affliction, of the gospel, according to the power of God. Partake. Don't shut your mouth. Speak. Tell them about the Lord. Are you going to be afflicted? Absolutely. No doubt. Why? Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by his appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought us life and immortality to light through what? The gospel. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. Absolutely. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Listen, my friends, I'm looking forward to that day. And if that day comes sooner than later because of the gospel, let it come. Amen. Let it be. For Stephen, it came very soon. What did Stephen accomplish? Well, he had the privilege to die a martyr's death. I don't want to die in a plane crash. I don't want to die in an accident. Oh, dear God, give me the privilege to die a martyr's death for the Lord Jesus Christ. If they want to kill me, put me in prison because I'm telling them God loves you, give me the privilege. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. When all men shall say all manner of evil against you and accuse you falsely for my sake. For blessed are they, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Let's pray.